News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Staff morale among doctors in the HSE is pretty bleak at the moment. This is according to a survey that was undertaken by the Irish Medical Organisation. And it says that 94% of doctors would view morale as low to moderate, and 67% say that morale has deteriorated over the past year. Matthew Sadlier is with us. He's president of the IMO. Why so bleak, Matthew?
Oh, I mean, it's all the reasons that we are saying constantly. I mean, the biggest problem at the moment with the hospital system is the overcrowding issue and the fact that we don't have sufficient beds for our population. You know, our population has gone up from about 3.5 million to whatever we are at now, about 5.5 million, but our hospital bed has gone from 11,000 to 12,000 in that same time. You know, that is insufficient. We have doctors working in crowded spaces. Working in crowded spaces creates two problems for doctors. There's what we would call a moral injury, where they see that the patient is not being treated properly, and they obviously sometimes get blamed for that, or they have to take responsibility for a service which they didn't create. But then you also just have the inefficiency that happens from corridor care of patients. I mean, I know in the hospital I worked before, there was a very nice room in the emergency department set up for, you know, suturing people who had relatively minor injuries, you know, that needed stitches. And there was always a patient in that room. So it meant anytime you had a patient that did need stitching, you had to, you know, disturb some patient in their bedroom, get the stuff from the drawer, get the other stuff from the other drawer. And then if you'd forgotten something, you had to come back rather than it all be laid out in the room in front of you. What's worrying in our survey is that the morale is that 60% feeling that things are getting worse. Because, like, I've been involved in medical politics a long time now, and it was never particularly high to start with. And that is very concerning.
Now, I suspect people would expect a lot of that feedback from the ED side of things, because I think there's a sense that that is where the overcrowding pressures and the stress pressures are at their highest. Once somebody becomes an inpatient and is within the system, do the pressures remain the same?
They do, because one of the difficulties we've spoken about, again, is that one of the solutions that we keep hearing from on top is that, you know, we need more discharges, that there's lots of patients inappropriately admitted to hospital. And that creates a huge pressure to discharge patients rather than the pressure when a patient comes into hospital to make them better. And I do think we've talked about this before, that our quality metrics in our hospitals are terrible. Instead of all we measure are what we call the hotel costs. What is the waiting list to be seen? How soon are you seen? How soon are you discharged? And can we get to stay in hospital as short as possible? We should be measuring how sick is the person? How much better did the person get? Did they have a long period of time out of hospital? Did they return to work if they were of working
age?
And
is that practically achievable, Matthew? Because the hotel metrics at least are simple.
That is the problem. Now, in the Irish system, I would argue that no, they're not practically possible, because most hospitals in this country still work off paper charts that are, I know I can see your eyebrows going up to the listeners. Yes, the vast majority of hospitals in Ireland work off paper notes that are stored in cardboard charts that are stored in warehouses. And after 3 years, they get, depend where you work, obviously, but some of them get archived after 3 years and are then off-site, which again means that if you're working in the emergency department, a patient comes in, they could have been discharged from the hospital 4 days ago, you have to wait for their chart to come up from filing before you can work out what was going on with the patient. Some stuff like laboratories and x-rays are available online, but most hospitals don't have a comprehensive patient record. So you're right. Until we get that piece in place, measuring other metrics becomes incredibly difficult.
But is this then a self-compounding problem? Because one of the things that we are told about all the time is that we need to attract more people into the medical profession, and we need to retain those who have qualified in Ireland to work in Ireland. Anybody who is on a medical track listening to what you're describing would think, A, the law sounds awful attractive, and B, if I'm going to do medicine, I'm going to do it in Australia.
Both of those things are probably true. Though at the other hand, you know, I mean, it's still a great job and I still would recommend anybody to do it.
Would
and
you?
There's still, oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no other job where you get such a, you have to have a very strong interest, obviously, in science and biology and being able to work at the cutting edge of technology. But there's very few other jobs where, you know, innovation to bedside happens in as quick a pathway as it does in medicine. But that's kind of global medicine. And also it's a very global profession. And I think you touched on that there. You know, medicine is medicine. Law, Irish law is different to European law, and other jobs are different to other jobs. Medicine is medicine. I can, you know, I can walk into a hospital anywhere in the world and my skill set will be applicable to the patient in front of me. So from that perspective. But you are right. We have a large number of doctors going to Australia, and while most of those doctors go to Australia not because of issues at home, they go to Australia because, you know, a desire to travel and whatever. And we know that because historically 80 to 90% came back. Now we're looking at 70% coming back. You know, so that number of people who are going away and not coming back is starting to increase.
You said you were around medical politics a long time. This issue is around a long time. The issues of overcrowding, the issue of underfunding, the issue of lack of holistic care for the centered around the patient. How is it that we perennially are unable to break the cycle?
I genuinely... Well, there's a couple of things. One, we definitely need a health infrastructure bill. We need definite legislation around health infrastructure so that you saw the issue, and I think I was in here, on wanting to build a neonatal ICU attached to Rotunda Hospital, and it gets blocked because of the aesthetic quality of the street. And we have our politicians walking around saying, oh, there's nothing we can do, it's the planning authorities. And you go, well, actually, you passed the legislation that created the planning authorities. There's something you absolutely can do. So we need health infrastructure legislation to make health infrastructure easier to build and to make it, obviously, you know, people who have homes have rights, but there is a common good and we need to balance that common good better against the general rights. We do need to introduce electronic patient records and we need to have a more efficient way of doing it. And that just takes political leadership, because that has been in the pipeline as long as I've been a doctor, and that's close on 30 years now. And what has happened is, we're going to do it. Oh, no, there's a new invention. Oh, no, there's new. Oh, no, there's something else happened. Somebody just needs to push the button. It's not going to be perfect. Whenever they push the button, it won't be a perfect system, but at least it will be a system.
But presumably also electronic patient records puts you in a position where new technology a la AI can actually be deployed to assess patterns of health and wellness among patients in a way that you can't with the paper chart.
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking space age stuff compared to where we're coming from now. I mean, like, essentially, it would be nice to know if somebody had been in Loughlinstown Hospital and got discharged and then turned up to the emergency department in Vincent's, that you knew they'd been in hospital sometime the last year. Like, let's just start at the basics. And that's where we are at. So we have a system where if you are admitted to Hospital A and you get discharged from Hospital A and maybe that ED is closed or you're visiting your cousin or something and you get admitted to Hospital B, Hospital B is writing letters to Hospital A to get them to send the medical notes and the examination results. So
in 2026?
Yes, very much so in 2020. Like, you could be in a hospital in 1890 and I don't think there would be a significant records difference as to what we are experiencing today.
Matthew Sadlier, your president of the Irish Medical Organisation. Thank you very much. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.